You know, I haven't had, I don't think one day go by that I haven't reminded myself that today is a day that the Lord has made, and we can rejoice in it. And that rejoicing is something that can be very contaminating, as it were, influencing others and encouraging others in that joy that we have of our God. Well, we are going to be in Luke 8 this morning, Luke chapter 8. Manuel is appreciating your prayers for his mom, and she does have some things that she has to be watched over, but as we continue to pray for the multitudes of people that are sick, for the multitudes of people who are lost, for our government, the list is really long of things to pray for. Let us not become discouraged or bogged down with that, because we still are serving the same God who is faithful and is all-powerful, and he's able to use us. That was the very first verse that I had the Bible students learn, is Mark 11:3, because God used a donkey to take him someplace. And that speaks volumes to me, and has for many years, and I'm so thankful for his mercy in our lives. We're going to look at seeds this morning. Seeds. My brother-in-law said to me a couple days ago, he says, well, I got all my seeds. And he just kind of said it like that. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, he said, the seeds are out. If you go to the big box stores, the seeds are out, and I got all my garden stuff already. I was like, wow, you are really thinking ahead. But it got me to thinking about seeds and just the opportunities that we have. So we're just going to look at that a little bit this morning here in Luke chapter 8. We'll read 10 through 15, then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. It says, And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for the day. And Lord, I just thank you for the blessing of being able to have in us this seed, the word of God, the salvation of Jesus Christ. And Lord, and that he is on the throne, Lord, that he is the one who is preparing a place for us. And Lord, that he is coming again to receive us unto himself. And God, I just pray that you'd help us today to be encouraged and to rejoice in those truths. And Lord, I also ask that you would help us as we consider the many who are struggling. Lord, and your word does remind us to weep with them that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. And so as we just consider those that are struggling, Lord, that in the same token, we would not allow those struggles to overcome us. But Lord, that your glory and your victory would always be what is testified. And Father, we just thank you that you're here with us. Your word promises that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you're in the midst. So Lord, speak to our hearts. We do lift up our missionaries to you and encourage their hearts. And we'll just thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. So yesterday we were out calling, talking about seeds. We were out calling, and we were walking up to this house, and it's in the orchards of, a little south of Greenville there, a little east of Lincoln Lake was the area where we were knocking doors. And we went up to this door, just kind of looking around, you're waiting for somebody to come to the door. And there were these areas next to the house, on both sides of the entranceway, and it wrapped around the house that was just, from a distance, it looked like mulch. You're just looking around, kind of glancing the doorbell, things that got hanging around, and my eyes landed on this mulch. It wasn't mulch at all. They were all peach pits. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of peach pits. And some of them were opened, some of them were still closed. You could see where maybe chipmunks or ground squirrels had dug up in the middle there, and I'm sure they were trying to figure out how to open them too, and so forth. It was one of those sites that really took you back for a second, saying, wow, I thought of all the labor involved. And maybe there's a machine that did it, you know, I don't know. But I just think of all the years helping Grandma Verberg when I was younger, doing peaches, sometimes helping Julie do things like that. And there's a lot of labor involved to get that pit or that seed out. And I know I'm pretty ignorant about this, but I know that there's a loose nut or a loose seed, and then there's one that's not so loose. And I know for a fact that sometimes we've gotten those that are not loose, and they're hard to get out of there. But we have something here that's precious for us, but for some people, as we've already noticed here, that's it's hard for them to grasp. And so we're talking about this word, or the seed rather, that is the word of God. And it is trustworthy, and we know that it's trustworthy. Well, just sometimes we need to be encouraged and be reminded that it's trustworthy. We had a conversation on the way to church this morning and just trying to remind ourselves about trusting in God, because there are circumstances, they're just not fun. Whether it's sickness, whether it's legal stuff, whether it's what's on the horizon for our nation, there's a lot of things that can distract us and discourage us. But we have the seed, which is the word of God, and it is trustworthy. Let's jump back to the Old Testament, Isaiah 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. It says, to the law and to the testimony. It's almost like a witness against them in one sense. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. We're going to have a lot of laws for the next little bit that have no light in them. And it's not just sad. There's a scary factor to that, because as you think of abortion and you think of giving foreign countries that hate Christians, they hate Israel, and they hate America, and we're giving money to them, billions of dollars. And so there's some things that can be distracting to us as in regards to the law, right? But if the law does not speak in accordance to the word, there's not light in it. And if we were to jump back to the New Testament, we could see, and we might go better in here in a little bit, where Peter said it was better to obey God rather than man. And what he's talking about there is the law. There are times when we see that it's illegal to be a Christian. I was reading a couple of different stories to the kids in the last couple of weeks, probably three or four stories actually. We get the voice of martyrs, and that's what I was reading to them. But in Turkey, how they're kicking Christians out. Another country was one in Africa. There was a story on Iran. Iran is trying to pass new legislation. And get this, the government has given the legislation to the leaders of the Muslims to ask for their approval before they bring it back to their own legislature to pass it. Oh, there are so many things that we could see in regards to the law that is corrupt. If it doesn't speak to the word of God, to this seed that is trustworthy, then there's no light in it. But we still have to follow that light. Let's jump to 1 John 1 and just remind ourselves about walking in the light. 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We still got to walk in the light. And the older I'm getting, it's probably because of the issue I have with colors and maybe stigmatism. I'm not like I study the eyeball, but I just know that I like light. If I'm going to read, I want it light so that I don't have to struggle. And I just found out my computer has it's set where it hits a certain time of day and the screen goes in dark mode, and then it comes a certain time of the day and then it goes into the regular mode. And although it's kind of a neat feature to be able to see that in dark mode, boy, my eyes do not like it. And they want to see it the other way around. Well, God, in his love, in his all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, darkness knows that we need light. It's for our health. When I went to the doctor 3-4 years ago, my vitamin D was way low. And the first thing, she's like, well, do you get outside? You need to be outside. I'm like, well, I pretty much live outside. This is not helping. But vitamin D comes from the sun, right? God wants us to be out. And that's an interesting illustration for us as we consider the vitamin D that comes from the physical sun. What happens to us when we walk with the sun and that encouragement and that strength that he gives to us? And so even though this seed is meant to be planted, it's also meant to be carried in us as it grows. And there's so many things when you look at this subject, all these little roots or tangents that you could take that bring you to blessings. Just like the roots of any seed that when it's growing, you know, after its process of death, it's growing, it goes to places of blessing where there's nutrients, there's the minerals, there's the water that it needs for growth. And that's the word of God for us. It's trustworthy, whether the law is, whether somebody's testimony is, God's word always is. Let's look at Acts 5:29. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. We're just going to make sure we remind ourselves here about Peter. It says, then Peter, Acts 5:29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. I believe that this is going to be a decision we have to make very clearly, just like Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart before the situation arose. Well, he knew it was coming, right? He knew it was coming. And we also know that there are things coming. And we need to purpose in our hearts ahead of time what we are going to do. So, there's just all this talk about firearms and all those types of things on the job and at the store and wherever you go. The internet's full of it. But there was one police officer who said this, which is pro-Second Amendment. But there's one police officer that said this. Get to know your neighbors. Get to know your neighbors. Well, even Jesus reminded us of that, to make friends of the mammon, right? And there's going to be that time where we've got to purpose. I'm not going to take this mark. I understand, right, the rapture and all of those things, but we're thinking ahead, and the example that needs to be set in stone for our children and the examples that they set in stone for that next generation, that, listen, there's going to come some tough moments that we are going to have an answer before time, or it's going to be too convenient and too easy just to go with the flow and just let things roll as they will. And that's not what God wants us to do. He said to preach in season and out of season. It never goes out of style for God. It's always the same. And he's always going to use the foolishness of preaching that Paul mentions to the Corinthians to get his message out. Because to the intelligent crowd, it doesn't make any sense. Which, several days or maybe it's been a few weeks ago now, either somebody was sharing this with me or I read it, that there was a reporter who said that, and it, according to his point of view, that people that became educated ended up leaning right extremists. And I thought, that is not what I see at all. I don't know about you. People that spend their lives in the universities, they're not conservative people. They're very liberal people. And as we can see through the results of the elections, I mean, the young people that rose up in these colleges, the young people that are rising up in the colleges now to revoke the degrees that were given to previous students because they're of one persuasion. When somebody's educated, it is not pointing them to righteousness, but rather to the things of this earth. But let's just consider the testimony here before we move on. 2 Timothy 3:7. 2 Timothy 3:7. 2 Timothy 3:7 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I know that there are individuals who do seem like they're lifers in college, and it's just something I guess they love. They love to learn, but we have this admonition from Paul to Timothy, as Timothy is pastoring and guiding this church, Paul just says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we see that in the illustration that Christ gives us about the seed as well. The people that just could not accept the simplicity of the gospel. I mean, that's what it really boils down to, the simplicity of the gospel. Yesterday also, we were out soul winning. Not too far from our house, actually, and I was telling the group yesterday that we came up to this house that I've known for a long time. The guy has a Skytrack that he rents out every once in a while, and I've been there to talk to him about that. But behind his house, he has this building called The Grange. Well, as soon as I saw it, my mind instantly went to Bellevue, Ohio, where Pastor Arp was, and they supported us for years when we were in Mexico. But they rented The Grange, and that's where they had church. But they could never get into the church building until Sunday morning to get things set up, because the people that owned The Grange and exercised those things of The Grange were there on Saturday doing their thing. And there were all kinds of idols and weirdness and like Masonic lodge kind of items that were stored in the cabinetry of that Grange down there in Ohio. So we're getting up and I see this Grange, and then I see there's a post beside the door that goes into this pole barn. And Caleb, he probably remembers, but it said something about studying mysticism and spiritualism, something along those lines. I was like, oh boy. But they still got to hear the truth. And so we go up to the door, and there was a lady that comes out with a smile on her face, and I'm sure she thought and knew that we were religious people, and she did bring that up in the conversation. And we were able to come back and say, but God never peddled a religion. He wanted to cultivate a relationship. And so it was just a good opportunity. But there are a lot of people that think they're educated, that think because of time spent in that education that they should be respected because of it. But we just saw from Scripture that if the law and the testimony are not in accordance with the Word, there's no light in them. And so I asked this lady, I said, well, so are you using the Bible as your basis, or what are you doing? She says, no. She says, we have three other books. That kind of sounds like the Mormons, or sounds like Jehovah's Witnesses. They have three other books, right, that they're basing everything on. She says, but I do reference the Bible. And she says, I love, you know, that verse in Psalms 51 is talking about creating me a clean heart. And she rattled off one or two more. And I just thought, you know, the truth of Scripture, that professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. But we never have to worry about that when our focus is on the seed, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's trustworthy, always trustworthy. In 1 Timothy 2, we're real close here, 1 Timothy 2:4, this is the will of God. This is the will of God. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And it's that becomes a struggle for us at times. It requires a lot of patience at times. There are very few people that you go up to their door and they're just waiting. Well, like a Cornelius, you know, they're just waiting for somebody to bring them the truth of the gospel. I think it was with Sam years ago. We were out calling towards the north. Well, maybe it's actually kind of the center of town. It was by the old Calvary Baptist Church. And we were knocking on doors, and this guy opens the door, and we could see his wife in there a little bit. And, you know, we went through the normal, you know, we're out from Liberty Baptist Church, and want to leave an invitation, and could we ask you a question? Do you know for sure if you were to die today that you'd be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ? Or something along those lines. And the guy's like, no, no, no. He says, why don't you come in and talk to me about it? And so we spend time going through the gospel. And at the end, the guy says, well, let me let you in on a little secret. I'm actually the youth pastor at Calvary Baptist, and I just wanted to see how you were going to present the gospel. And I was like, we were so excited that somebody was inviting us into their home to share the gospel. And then that was really discouraging, because you get invested into that conversation, and then for him to do that to us, that wasn't funny. But it took place. It's rare when somebody will invite you into their home to share the gospel first time. A lot of times there's a cultivation process, isn't there? Later on in the Bible Institute, we're going to talk about soils and just the different types of soils, the different type of prep work. And some of you know way more about that than I do. But I could just remember seeing those big, huge tractors on deputation over the hills of Kentucky and in Tennessee. And they were just bogged down trying to till up that hard soil. And it's just a reminder to us that there's a seed that wants to be planted. It is His will that all men would come unto the knowledge of the truth. But there's some work that needs to be invested, and we can't take that for granted. The natural man just doesn't get it. That's what the Bible says. Let's jump there, 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." It does take someone who is spiritual to plant a spiritual seed in the life of a person who is not spiritual, who is not walking in light. Because the only thing that they know is, well, the textbooks tell me, my teacher tells me, my parents tell me, the TV tells me that I came from this single-celled whatever, and I formed into, you know, through the course of millions and billions of years into a being. And if that's the only thing they've ever heard, and you just present them at the door with this invitation, this opportunity to consider Christ, and you're like, well, what is that to me? It just seems foolish. It seems crazy. And so the investment that is required to help that natural man realize that there are scales put on his eyes because of the enemy of God, and that you're there just to help, not lord over, but to help them see truth. And so that's our great opportunity. The truth is faithful. It's trustworthy. And it lives and it abides. Let's jump to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, 23 through 25. 1 Peter 1, 23 through 25 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." I apologize if you don't like snow, but Philip, I think God honored Philip. Philip was saying yesterday or day before that he wished there was more snow because he didn't want to see the grass poking through it. And then Julin gets in the vehicle and she says, "Well, we got two snowstorms coming." And I just thought, well, God answered Philip's desire. He didn't want to see the grass. But here we're looking at the fact that the grass grows and it goes away. It fadeth. It's trampled by the snow for months and months and months, and people and animals and vehicles. But the word of God, it endures forever. We have a spot. You come out our front door. If you walk down towards the garden or towards the trailer or towards my in-laws, there is a very worn path. And I have struggled to keep grass in that path over the years just because of the constant traffic. And you go to the store and you try to find the hardiest, the fastest growing seed to throw in there, and then the most durable seed that will last the test of time. You know, some people are crazy about wanting all of their grass to look the same color, and everything has to be cut in the same direction, and all of these things. For me, I just want it to be covered because I don't want dirt in the house, right? And so we're just looking at that grass that fades away. It just doesn't have the resistance. There's not really a lot there. We're thankful that the roots grow and it holds the dirt there, but there's not really a lot there. But that's not so when we talk about the Word of God. He lives and abides forever. It is written in heaven. And therefore, we can be encouraged. When, you know, we go back to some of these discouraging moments or circumstances, well, Romans 8:28 reminds us that all things are going to work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And it's just that moment of refocusing. And I know that it's hard to refocus at times. I'm sure that when my father-in-law wasn't feeling good, and hadn't been feeling good for a few days, I guess. And he goes to the doctor, and the doctor starts taking tests and say, yeah, there is something up. What are all the things that go through your mind? All the things that could be inside of you, growing or out of place or, harboring foreign substances. I don't know. But all the things that can run through your mind. But even in those moments, God knew. And so we can trust. It's just reminding ourselves to trust in him, the one who is faithful and the one who liveth and abideth forever. It's a seed like no other. If I was going to create a seed, I don't know. I like things pretty quick. I don't know about some of you. One of the kids have a storybook, it seems like, and they plant a seed, and the child goes out there and just kind of camps out and wants to see that seed grow. And you know, that would be my thing. If I was going to create the perfect seed, why not just throw it in the dirt and instantly see it shooting out of the ground? Mrs. Bond gave the ladies, you ladies, a very interesting plant that in the beginning I thought was a little spooky looking. And yet that thing faithfully every single day has grown. One thing blossomed out and had several, 2-3 flowers. And now the second one is out with 2 or 3 flowers. And it looks like there's another one shooting up. And that's just a very interesting thing. It doesn't require water. You can literally watch it grow. One of the kids was measuring it each day to see how much it was growing. And see, now if I was a designer of a seed, that's what I'd want to do. Throw in the ground and let's get someplace. But the Word of God said that that seed had to die. And we know that our Lord Jesus Christ did die. And now we're talking about 2,000 plus years in the past. And yet this seed is alive and it abides forever. How many of us have bought seeds for our gardens, didn't use them all, put them on top of the refrigerator or out in the garage or someplace, and we thought, well, I don't need to buy that seed this year. I've still got some. And so the time to plant the garden comes, and we start putting all those seeds in there, and then a third or a half of them don't come up, right? The germination factor is gone. And by that time, we're like, oh, no, I was really depending on this. And we run to all the stores, and they're all empty because we waited too long, right? But this seed isn't like that. It never grows old. So no matter where you plant it, I mean, it was his promise that it would not return to him void. Now, at the very minimum, when a seed is left in the path of another, they at least had exposure. They at least had an opportunity. They at least had a chance. Oh, I know, Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. But just remind yourself, you know, when people look at the sky, they're thinking evolution. It takes work. It takes investment to help them to understand and to see. It says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. It's always going to be the same. One of the frustrating things in any country where they do not have a good translation of the Bible, you run into circumstances. It says the word of God endureth forever. But in some of these translations, they change words. They change meaning, and people come back with questions. I thought you said the word of God was trustworthy. How do you explain that to him? Years ago, we were in a conference out in Maryland for missions. But one of the guys got up and was it Dr. Waite or Dr. White? Something like that was his name. And he was well-versed in the translation of the King James. And so he was up and he was explaining some things. And another pastor stands up at the end of that little session. This was only for pastors. No one else was in there. But he stood up and he said, I thought you told me that the Word of God was inerrant, but you're telling me that there was 3,000 changes between this revision and the last revision. What do you do? Well, you can't lean on man's words. You always have to lean on his word. And his message has never changed. It's only ever been by him, through him, and for him. All things were created by him and for him is for his pleasure. And so that's where the focus needs to be. Not on man, not what on somebody, you know, gets up and says that maybe causes you to be distracted, disgruntled, discalculated, if that's a word. We need to focus on him because his word endureth forever through all generations. And so this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Let's jump over to 2 Corinthians for just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 says, it says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." This is how we get renewed. You know, I remember when we had the chickens, and every single day, twice, well, maybe sometimes more, someone would have to go out there and check on the eggs. Because, you know, you get that crazy chicken that wants to peck her own egg and then eat the egg, and it's just problematic there. And so they're out there checking the eggs. And then you're out there once at least a day to feed them, and twice to give them water, especially in the winter when you got the freezing problems. And so there's that constant maintenance to make sure everything is in proper order. Well, thankfully, God has given us the Holy Spirit to remind us and prick us and guide us in all truth, to remind us of that order of things so that we can be renewed day by day. But as I was talking, Julie and I were talking to a young lady in Mexico last night, and there was this talk of experience and so forth, and I just asked her, I said, "When was the last time you read your Bible?" And she said, "About a month ago." And Julie said, "Well, you're starving yourself. You're allowing all of these circumstances to come to rise up, to be above what the Word of God says. And so that's where your distraction lies, and you can't remember clearly what God told you and wants you and is encouraging you to do." And so as we go back here again, it says, "Yet the inward man is renewed day by day," and we get that renewing through the Word, which is written for us, but He has also sealed us with the Holy Spirit. He also abides with us in the Father, and He gives us the authority to come before His throne of grace whenever we want. That's an amazing opportunity for us. The inward man is renewed day by day. Are we taking advantage of that? Are we enjoying that? The Word of God says to search the Scriptures. It says, Jesus told the Pharisees, "For you think that you found eternal life," but He said, "All of those words, they're speaking of Me. They're not speaking of some other foreign idea, not some group of words and letters that form phrases that give you a thought or an idea, and so therefore the law itself is what's giving you. No, these things are all talking about Me. They're all speaking of Me." And so when we can realize and participate in sharing Jesus, we are laborers with Him, with Him. Let's jump to 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 12. Brother Steve said we extra time, but I don't know where it went. We're almost out of time anyway. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 12. It says here, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation, other buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And so those are, well, let me read 12. "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every work, man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare." And so the only thing that's going to last is what we have built on that seed, on that foundation that was laid by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it said there in verse 9 that we're God's husbandry. So husbandry means the business of a farmer, comprehending agriculture, or tillage of the ground, the raising, the managing, and fattening. I can't even read my own writing. The fattening of the cattle. And that was out of Noah Webster's 1828. And there was actually more information there. But it's just interesting when we talk about husbandry, all of the facets that are mentioned under that one word. I mean, let's just say husband. And someone who's young that isn't married thinks altar and I get to wear a ring. And they don't think about all of the other things that come into play with being that. The friend, the counselor, the drama that he or she may create, the bills that are going to come as a result of being part of a family. And there's just a multitude of things that come behind that word husband. Well, as we look at husbandry, understand that He is still willing to take the whole load because He said that His yoke was easy and His burden was light. So because it talks about here, you know, the fattening the cattle, and He wants to get in that yoke with us and He wants to take us forward. He knows that we can't convince people. That's the work of him. That's the work of the Holy Spirit to do that. But he does want us to join into this yoke and participate as fellow laborers, for we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. It's not natural either for us to be engrafted. My grandpa Austin has dealt with those chestnuts and talking about the grafting that takes place there. And my wife's grandpa Rizma had a fruit tree, and I can't remember how many kinds, but there were different kinds of apples growing on the same tree. They were grafted in. But that's not natural. That's something that has to be done from the outside. Well, look at James chapter 1, 21 for just a second. Look what God has done for us. It says in James 1, 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. That engrafted word that can give you a very sweet and precious purpose. A purpose that is desirable by others. Now, I can't remember exactly how this took place, but I remember hearing the story of how they get the little, what are those called? The little cuties, you know, you get from Myers, the little orange things that don't have any seeds. And I thought, well, how can you have a fruit that doesn't have any seed? Well, they're constantly having to force this to happen. It's something that they have to do or we wouldn't have it. The Word of God is not like that. When He engrafts in us, it's able to be reproduced and reproduced and reproduced as we give out that seed. But one last thing I just want us to be reminded of, the seed is vulnerable. Let's go back. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and 19. It says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. And I certainly can't stand up here and say, well, if we were watching over that individual, you know, 24/7, that wouldn't happen, because everybody has a free will. But what I want to remind us of is that if we know that a seed has been planted, that we go and make sure that seed is still there, that we follow up with that individual. How many times have we went up to the door and heard a telephone ring? Or someone pulls in the driveway and there's just a multitude of distractions. Somebody comes to the door and here comes their child that isn't dressed, or the dog that wants out, or so many distractions as you're trying to plant a seed there. It may very well be necessary for us to go back or to encourage someone else to go back. Andrew came across a young lady in the trailer park with his group, and Julie has gone back to try to follow that up. And so we're talking about caring for the state of the seed. We're talking about watching, or as much as God allows us to, because we can't get inside someone's head and we can't get inside someone's heart, but it's very clear that it can be snatched away. Now, we could replace it. We can bring the message to them again and try to bring back their mind to this thought. But it's going to take a decision. It's going to take some investment, like we've already kind of mentioned. But consider this as we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again, and looking at what Paul mentioned of Apollos here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. It says, I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And I don't know, down through the years, I've been in circumstances where an individual who witnessed to someone did not want anybody else to go over there and do any cultivating, any re-witnessing, or drawing them to the fold, as it were, as we see in Jude. They didn't want them to. I'm thinking, that's just wrong. It's not about you, and it's not about me, and it's not about them. It's about him. And Paul planted because he knew God wanted him to plant there. But was Paul going to always be in that place? Paul was always moving around. Maybe 18 months in one place, but he was always moving around. And so for another brother to come in behind and have the same message and just cultivate or water or encourage and to see the fruitfulness of that, well, now every one of us are having an opportunity to be a blessing to every one of us as we bring forth the same message, as we bring forth the same seed that liveth and abideth forever, regardless of when we die and regardless of who's born next. I was just reminded this morning that, I reminded myself that I was teased a little bit when I had John and Matthew and then mom and dad had Luke, you know, because he's my brother and younger than my sons. But the one who teased me is now in that exact same boat. And he has a little one on the way, and his daughter has a child. And it's just, you know, we can't control the timing of things. We can't. But at the same token, we must trust in the fact that God's word liveth and abideth forever. For faithful at planting, you know, the Bible tells us that about there in Psalms, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And that's his promise. So we go, and maybe we come back and we don't feel like we saw any fruit or much fruit. It's not about what we see. It's about what he sees. And let's just be reminded. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your patience with us. And I pray, God, that you just help us in this matter of the seed. Lord, just to not take it for granted. Lord, what an amazing thing that you have grafted into us, something we could not do of ourselves. And Lord, I just pray that as we continue on through the rest of the service, you'd be honored and glorified. And Lord, for anyone who had a desire to be here, but then, Lord, just because of illness or maybe the weather kept them back, Lord, just encourage their hearts. Lord, and we'll just thank you for what you'll do now. In Jesus' name, amen.